The views and opinions expressed by the following program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station or the Webster Rock Hill Ministries, its management, or other host or underwriting sponsors. Programs presented on KWRHLP are for educational and entertainment purposes only. Views which are presented are for educational purposes only and are not intended to treat, diagnose, or claim any cure of disease or condition.
This is Amanda LaPlante. You're listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. With me today is Rashonda Thornton. Rashonda is a registered dietitian who specializes in wellness. She's the owner of a nutrition consultation company called Better Vessel Nutrition. She also appears as the nutrition expert on Fox 2 News St. Louis, where she's held over 75 nutrition segments. And she is an author and a featured speaker for the upcoming TEDx talk in St. Louis this May.
Yay!
Yeah, it is exciting. You have just got all kinds of good things going on. I'm so honored that I could get a few minutes with you here.
Oh, and I'm grateful to be on here with you.
So as a dietitian and a wellness speaker, you teach how to balance life, build self-importance, and reestablish your relationship with food, right?
Correct.
Okay, we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes, that is a big thing that a lot of people don't want to talk about, but it's the foundation to move forward, in my opinion, when it comes to food and just how we interact with it and like how we actually make sustainable changes.
Wholeheartedly, I agree with you. I've definitely seen that in my own life and with people that I've worked with as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you have got you've got a degree in psychology. You're not just a dietitian. You've got a lot of other training behind you. So I want you to share a little bit about your background.
Well, you know, before I came a dietitian, I will say I am the girl that loves science and math. And I actually went to school first in the beginning to get my degree in biology. And I ended up working in human genomics, working behind a lab, working with pipettes and in lab coats, and also having a degree in psychology with that. So I love both, but didn't know what to do with them, didn't know where it took me. So it's one of those things where you have an epiphany. I was in the middle of just pipetting, and then I just paused. And I asked myself, do I see myself doing this in the next 5 years? And I had to say no, but what does that mean moving forward? I had no idea. Long story short, I stumbled across the profession of dietetics, and I initially said, oh, this is about food. I don't want to learn about food. I don't want to cook food. I thought it was all about food. But as I start to dig in more and talk to more dietitians, I realize this is a profession that is outside of the realm of food. It teaches people about living healthy, using food. And they're in so many different places in the industry. You know, you have dietitians in hospitals, you have dietitians in media, you have dietitians that are writers, they're in sports, they're in military. There is a span in which this profession could go in. So that's really how I decided, hey, maybe this is for me.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So it sounds like it's one of those careers that could just captivate your every attention.
It could. And you know what? I think it's such a needed discipline.
So important.
And now people are starting to realize how important, I think, healthy living is and having those people that are able to educate them and to help them, you know, make the right choices now. And so obviously a lot of dietitians that I'm sure a lot of people know, they think hospitals, clinical dietitians. Once I completed my second degree and my internship, just so you know, it's like a year and a half of internship after you get your degree, I realized what field I did not want to work in, and that was the hospital. And there's nothing wrong with dietitians in that field. They're needed. But I want to be in front of health. So preventive health is really where I put my focus as a dietitian. And that is just teaching people, educating people so they don't end up in a hospital, right? So I didn't know what that looks like. So I decided I'm just going to make my own. And that's how the manifestation of my nutrition consultation company came.
Okay.
From me just creating my own message, my own way of going about helping people.
So you started your private practice, and how long have you been in private practice?
Actually, it's been 6 years.
6 years.
And it has been revamped and moved left and right, always in an upward trajectory, but it has been, I've been able to expand my platform and build it just from my one idea. And I think that's the beauty of it, because I have been able to be free and grow and evolve. And, you know, every step has taken me further that I in places I wasn't, it wasn't even on my radar. So I think that's the beauty of it.
So what was your, you said your one idea. What was your one idea? What's that central theme?
Honestly, as a dietitian coming out of school, I just wanted to teach people how to eat healthy because that's what they needed to do to learn how to live a healthy life. And then I realized everyone knows what to do, right? We know the difference between an apple or a donut. We know. So it's not teaching is what people need. It's helping them to understand perhaps why they're not choosing an apple as much as they are choosing that donut. Why are we doing the things we're doing? And so that's where the psychology piece kicked in. And so I ended up working as a consultant dietitian, and that's where the private practice come in. And I started off working, you know, first I just want to teach people, and I realized it has to go deeper than teaching. And so working with people individually is really how this kind of came into fruition, and it has allowed me to have those conversations with people. And what you find is that, yes, we all have a goal, a health goal, a body goal, but until we start peeling back those layers of why we see ourselves doing a constant thing, why it's so hard to be consistent, what habits have we not addressed, we're continuously moving this negative cycle. And so that's really how my one-on-one started as a dietitian. And then from there, it just kind of spread out.
So what else have you learned in your private practice as you've been working with people? What are some of the themes that stand out for you, or maybe some of those moments that were just ahas?
The moment that I feel that has resonated the most, or what's a common thread, is that I see the people I encounter, whether it's one-on-one or it's groups, it's like the state of their health or the skin that they're in, it's like a cloud that just travels over their head, and they live with this cloud. And so their whole life, they're trying to figure out how I'm going to get this last 15 pounds off. How can I keep my cholesterol down? You know, if I'm seeing my mother and father in this health state, and if I continue with what I'm doing, I'm going to go that direction too. But they have that fear. And so they act out of fear, which means they jump on the first diet. They try to like kill themselves in the gym, you know, they try to educate themselves in a way that it's not a lifestyle education. And so what I find is that people are just going back and forth, and they're struggling with their weight and their body, but they're struggling with the outside, and the outside is what we try to change. But until we work on the inside, it doesn't matter. And so that's what really, when I work with clients, I work on the inside piece, because we can get that together. Then the actions that we take from that changes. And then guess what? The byproduct is that the outside changes. But we can't go in it trying to fix the outside. We got to start from the internal piece first. And then what happens at the outside will naturally change. You know, so that's kind of the struggle. That's what I've seen mostly with the people I encounter. And that's really where my passion is. That's where my passion has grown from, that because I realized what the big quote-unquote problem is.
Gotcha. So we had a great conversation a couple months ago.
Yes,
and
I
enjoyed every minute of it.
Same
you're
here.
So integrative in your approach and so thoughtful, and you've got so much perspective that you bring to your practice. And I know you've got on our notes here, we talked about ways people interact with food, and you've identified two ways, right? And tell me a little bit more about that perspective.
So from my opinion, there's two unconscious ways that we interact with food. Let's say you have an event coming up next month. It's a vacation, right? You want to look good in your bathing suit, or you're going to a class reunion, or you just want to get into that size 8 or a size 6. So what you do is you find ways to learn how to manipulate your food to curate the outcome. So if that means taking out complete food groups, or that means taking away carbs for a month, or if that means I'm just going to only eat these certain foods because it's proven to change my body. And so what it turns into is that we're just picking up this food, and like if we had an axe and a hammer, we're just chiseling. We're using the food as a tool. And that's the thing we don't realize. We use food as a tool to change the outside. And guess what? When we're done, when we lost our weight or we looked the way we want to look, we put food on a shelf. So what I find that there's a disconnect of us connecting with what we're putting in our body. So instead of using food as a tool, how can we actually start using food as a part of who we are? And that's the relationship piece. So we use food as a tool. The second part of it is, I always talk about relationships, right? We should build a relationship with food. Well, perhaps think about the relationship that we find ourselves having with food sometimes. We have certain foods and then, oh, let's put this, let's back up. When we're around certain foods, we feel that we just can't control the want for it, the urge for it, the craving for it. It's calling our name. So we feel lack of control. We feel weak. We feel vulnerable, right? And what happens is that we start labeling that food. So let's say there is a box of dozen donuts on the table. And you automatically say that food is bad.
Okay.
So it's bad. But 5 minutes later, you find yourself grabbing one of those quote, quote, bad donuts. You grab it. You eat it. For that 5 minutes or 5 seconds, you feel good. But as soon as you've had that five, I call it 5 seconds of pleasure, that whole feeling of what you just called that donut bad, you feel bad. So we're not even conscious of like how we, when we eat certain foods, we're a reflection of how we, what we call them. So we call it bad, then we feel bad. And then this whole, here we go, negative cycle. Oh, here I go again, turn into the old me, you know, find myself doing the same thing over again. I can never change. I cannot get, you
total
know.
Total shame spiral.
You yeah. know? And so the understanding, so I just talked about this relationship. But so if you're in a relationship with anything, feeling weak, feeling vulnerable, feeling lack of control, feeling bad about yourself, is that, what kind of relationship is that? Is that an adversary relationship or is that a partnership? Because when you're in a partnership, you want to have something that's going to make you feel better, help you to thrive. And when it comes to food, I think a lot of times we have an adversary relationship with food. And that's something that perhaps people don't think about. So it's really like, so my key things are sometimes we use food as a tool without connecting with it. And then we have an adversary relationship with food. And I think once we realize those two pieces, then the next step is, okay, awareness is number one, right? So what can we do about that? But until we actually realize that, we'll continue to find ourselves in the same yo-yo, same circle, same cycle.
It makes absolute sense, definitely. And as you think about, so those are, and those are two great explanations. In your practice, can you think of some moments where you've applied those with a client and they've had that aha moment? And what was that like?
Yeah, so let's say it's the relationship piece, you know? And I always work with clients about how can you reposition yourself? When I say reposition yourself, it's about being proactive. It's about knowing what you're getting yourself into. So let's say you know you're invited to a party. You know they're going to have a nice layout of different hors d'oeuvres and desserts and things like that. You know, coming into that, you know what you're getting yourself into. It's not a shocker. You know what you're getting yourself into. But how can you mentally prepare yourself? Not saying I'm just going to tough this out, but how can you come in there with a plan where you're positioning yourself to where, if you want to have some dessert, have a game plan. You know, come in there and say, okay, I'm going to get a small plate and I want to taste a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And be okay with it. But instead of just walking by, it's like, try not to have it. I'm going to try not to have it. I'm trying not to have it. And you just give up and you just have it.
Right. Because how often does deprivation really work? I mean,
it doesn't.
Yeah, it's just
and then
torture.
You're miserable. You're not enjoying sure. your time. So it's a mindset shift. So if you allow yourself to say, okay, I'm going into this party. You know, I do want to enjoy myself. I'm going, how can I find my balance? So you position yourself to where you're choosing to select the food.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I can't have this, I can't have that, I can't have, say, you know, perhaps I choose not to have that. Or maybe I have a little bit of that later. Or let me just get a sampling of that. It's the same exact act, but it's the fact that you're repositioning yourself. So where this relationship with food is not, you don't have this little small plate of desserts and feel it's bad every single time you're eating. You made space for it, right? And so now you're enjoying it and you're having your balance, so you're not feeling bad about it.
So finding better balance, shifting your mindset and then shifting your self-talk around that mindset, right?
Yes.
To be able to create that better relationship. That makes a lot of sense. Now, when you talk about connecting with food and connecting with ourselves, dive a little bit more into that for me.
Wow. So food. So my perspective, you know, I don't even call food. I call it nutrients because it's my lens. I look at food as it's what gives me life. It what allows me to thrive. So my connection to food is in a way, it's really a connection to myself because I select what I want that's going to give me the best life. It's going to increase my longevity.
I love
so
that.
That's why I choose certain foods. I don't choose a salad so I can make sure the scale doesn't tilt a different direction. I don't choose a salad because it's proven to keep my cholesterol down. I choose a salad because I look at the nutrients that I'm putting in front of me. And guess what? I consume that. And so to me, food and myself or nutrition and myself is one. So it represents me, right? But it also creates me.
Well, and you are on a mission to create so much in life. You are truly using this vessel to pour out and to make a difference in the world. And I think that that really, it helps to drive those decisions, right? Because we start to look at, you know, what we put in is what we'll get out of our body, and our body is our vessel. And so I love the name of your business, Better Vessel.
Yes, Better Vessel. It's basically, it's our body is our vessel, and we get one chance. Do we get an Amanda 2.2? We get one opportunity to give this vessel that we've been blessed with the best that it can get. You know, so when you think about when you're selecting your mate, you're going to pick the best person that you feel is going to help you in your life. You know, when you're selecting the best school for your kids, you want to make sure they have the best education, right? Why we play around when it comes to our food or our health? You know, they have that saying that food can heal you or kill you. I mean, it sounds very cliche, but listen to the words. By your choice, food can either kill you, but food can heal you. Food is, our body's meant to live off food, right? It's three different things. It's three elements that we have to live off of: air, water, and food. Water, I have this bottled water. I am not drinking out of the Missouri River. I prefer clean water, right?
Yes, ma'am.
I prefer to live in, if I had a choice, I would love to live in the mountainous skies of Colorado versus some city infested smog city, right? Because I want clean air. If air and water is what keeps you alive, you want the best. When it comes to our food, why isn't our food the best? Because that's a part of our survival. So when I look at all three elements, I mean, that's how I'm moving. That's how I'm talking. That's how I keep my energy up, because I make sure all three of those are clean. So to me, it's quite simple. And so I try to give people that analogy, because we always tend to lose focus on, yes, we want food to taste good. I get it. It should. That's a part of life. It's a part of enjoying life. It can taste good and be good for you at the same time.
100%. I agree. And I love that you touched on that, you know, food can kill you or build you, basically. You know, you had a better way of saying it there, but that's been my experience. You know my backstory.
Yes,
I mean, really, and I guess we kind of did get Amanda 2.2. So
yes, you know what? In a way,
you know, and I'm just so thankful to God for that realization, and then to be able to go and have that conversation with people and say, hey, look, you know, I can show you the difference that food can make. You know, really, I've seen it in my life. So I love that that's your message.
Yeah, and it's so glad that you're, I mean, I'm a vessel, but you're a walking vessel as well. I mean, you are living proof that from where you came as far as your health, how you were healed with what you changed in your food. Like, that's the bottom line. It's nothing, that's it. That's how you were healed. So you understand the connection with food. It's your lifeline. Mm-hmm. To me, some people are like, oh, you're just so dramatic with it. I tell you right now that I live the life of liberation. There's no ball and chain that's connecting me to food in a negative way. I tell people, I love food. I love food, and I love myself. It's a food, self, to me, it's the same thing. So I eat the best for myself because I love myself, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So much yes. So much yes. Yeah, because that, you know, yes, I make the good choices around food, but I had a lot of self-work and introspection and a lot of healing to do on, you know, a psychological and mental level to get to that point to where I could have that relationship, to where I could make those right decisions. So I love that you pull all of that together whenever you talk about this.
And I think when you think, you talk about the psychological, the mental, and you talk about the negative talk a few moments ago, just think about once you eat something that makes you feel good, that starts a positive cycle of, man, that felt good. I did a great job. You know, now the idea that your health is going to be a part of this new thing. I mean, it creates a snowball, but it's a great snowball. And like, I think like we have to allow ourselves. Yes. One thing to think about is, first of all, it's not about being perfect. There's no 100%. It's about just being progressive, making a better choice because you want what's better for you. We're supposed to make mistakes. You know, I call it balancing discipline with grace, right? You have to have grace to allow yourself to know that, hey, I'm in this thing, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm changing. And through all these changes, I'm going to make mistakes. It's a part of the journey. But then recognize that you do have a journey. You do have a goal. So be able to hold in both hands, being gracious enough for yourself to love yourself, to know just because you had a perfect day and that night you just collapsed doesn't mean that the world's over, right? But have enough discipline to say, hey, you know what? I want what's best for my body and my health. So how about instead of having three donuts, I'll just have one this time. How about instead of having soda, I just grab some tea because I just want to be better. And I have goals. So I have a level of discipline, but I'm also still keeping grace for myself.
It's an important balance. Now, when you talk about eating, you know, a few minutes ago, you talked about putting the cleanest food into your body, the best food into your body. What does that look like for you?
Well, I just say, when I say clean, in my opinion, it's anything I can pull out of the ground, wash, cut up, and eat, you know, or if it's, you know, if it's animal, you know, I eat protein, I eat animal protein. So I definitely, when I say for in that regard, clean to me is just something that's lean, you know, something that, because you get a lot of vitamins from animal meats, but I don't need the fat part of it, because to me, that's not going to be productive in my body, the life of my body. So I always say nutrient dense, but I want every calorie that I put in my body. I don't count my calories, but I make every calorie count, right? So I rather have something that's nutrient dense that it's going to give my body what it needs. So in my opinion, clean foods is something that's perishable, something that you don't have to process, something that you can just simply cut up, cook, and be able to consume. That's the easiest way I can, that's the most basic way I can kind of describe it for myself.
And I love that you talk about not counting calories. When you're talking with the client, does that ever boggle their minds?
But you know what? First of all, working with clients, I know like what we're trained to think. I know what they don't want to count how many calories, how many grams or whatever. And I have to allow them to, I hear them out, because mm-hmm. I know like that's the way they look at it. But over time, I help them understand, hey, you know, let's not worry about the calories, because I want you to know everything that's in this salad, regardless of the calories, there's nutrients in those almonds that you have, and there's nutrients in that kale. There's nutrients. Everything you're eating is nutrients. So don't worry about the calories, because every calorie is going to help every part of your body in the way it's supposed to.
And that
helps them to kind of slowly kind of come around. But they eventually do. It just takes time, because you have 20, 30 years of a way of you got to count calories. You got to do. Then it's hard to wrap your head around, I don't have to count calories anymore. That's a big relief.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of people coming to you off of some of the, and I won't name any names, but there are certain systems out there that are really popular where it's based on points?
Yeah.
It's a lot of calorie counting. Yeah. How do you reverse that?
Well, I ask them, what do you learn from you counting points and you're in this counting system? I get it kind of helps you keep accountable, but do you know what you're counting? So what's lacking in some of those programs is there's no education behind it. I know what calorie conversion counts convert really are just calories, but you don't even know what, you're not learning anything. So guess what? You're going to always live off a counting system until you be able to detach yourself from this program and learn how to thrive on your own. You're going to be dependent upon it, not even knowing why or what. Or if something says you got 50, I don't even know how it works, but you got 50 points in a day. Okay, so like at the end of the night, you got 10 more points, right? So whatever that 10 points, that means, oh, I can eat this, whatever is 10 points. But guess what? You don't even need, like, if we're going off, we think about numbers, like, do you need those 10 points? But you're going off a system. How about you just don't need that, period? But if you don't know it in the light of just food for what it's worth, you're going to always be living on the system where you're just counting calories. And to me, that's no freedom in there.
Yeah, and I've run across so many people in my practice that's, yeah, that's kind of where they are. And it's great to have someone like you to be able to refer to, to where you can really break that down a little bit further. That's not within my scope necessarily to get into the micro, macro and all of that. It's just, you know, we can talk about the basics, but getting through to people about the fact that, you know, a calorie isn't just a calorie. There's nutrients in a calorie. And just starting there, just so that they have that awareness of eating real food and what a difference that can make.
And I tell people, think about portion sizes. Eat what your body needs. If your body, does your body need a full plate or does your body need half that plate? So don't always worry about portion size. Just fill your gut, eat what your body needs. And that's a whole different concept of how many ounces, how many grams. You know, it's just so many rules. So many rules. So guess what? If you break the rule, guess what? You're bad. You're messed up. You're a failure. There are any rules. You make your own rules, but you need support to help you to create your rule for your life, rules for your personal self. Not everyone's rules are different, right? Everyone's body's different. Everyone's lifestyle's different. So you got to figure out what works for you, what works for you, but what can work for you, 5 years down the road, 10 years down, if it can be sustainable. And that's the biggest picture too.
That's the thing, right? Getting in touch with yourself enough to be able to understand that, because yeah, what you ate at 15 that worked for you is going to be different than at 35, than at 65. And it's so correct. Important.
Yeah. To yeah. learn. You can't go off a counting system for that either.
Definitely not. So I wanted to get into a little bit about your TED Talk journey and your upcoming book, but it looks like we're going to have to do that in another episode.
Aww.
So what I'd like to do is, if you've got some time, would you mind to stick around and let's do another one?
I would love to.
All right, let's do that.
Great.
So in the meantime, though, for anyone that's been listening, let's give them a little bit of information on how sure. they can reach out.
Well, definitely a couple different ways. You can go to my website. It's betterbessel.com. That's BetterBessel, betterbessel.com. You can also go to, I have a Facebook business account, which is Better Vessel, Instagram, Better Vessel, Twitter, Better Vessel. You will go there, you find my contact information and ways to communicate with me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here today, Rashonda Thornton,
Thank
registered
you for
dietitian.
Having me.
Yeah, it has been awesome, and I can't wait to talk even more with you here in
yes.
a few.
Yes.
So this is Amanda LaPlante. You've been listening to Get Real to Heal on KWRHLP 92.9 FM. For more information or to contact me, please reach out at amandalaplante.com or find me on facebook.com/getrealtoheal. You can also reach out for a free 30-minute consultation or with any questions at 314-583-6749. And for this and other episodes of Get Real to Heal, please check soundcloud.com/getrealtoheal and keep in touch. Have a great day.